Hello, everybody, and welcome into another edition of Speed Syndicate, episode 72. This one's titled Denny Doubles Up. I'm Logan Andy Morris, and I'll be your host for the evening, or whatever's left of him, I should say. And luckily, I don't do it alone. Let's bring in the show creator and co-host of this bad boy. He is the syrup sipping John Mayer listening. He is just all things in between. One of the kind of souls I know, one of the kind of souls you undoubtedly know. Let's bring him in, Adam Carabine.
What's up, Logan? Look at this. Are you like clean shaven, fresh faced Mr. Logan Loganity Morris?
Yeah, you know,
The occasion? My goodness.
Well, you know, just every now and again, and I don't know if you feel this or not, but every now and again, when it comes to a beard, you kind of get tired of looking at it. And just at least I do. Those mustache hairs piss me off something often. They do, they're in the way.
You just gotta trim them, you know.
They're in the way. Yeah, you really gotta groom them up there. But these hands are not necessarily, with the motor function issues of CP. You know, it's a job.
That's what producer Peyton's for.
No, she does do that gladly, and we thank her for it. I think we'll have her at some point tonight.
We will. Yes.
She's running a little behind. She's a little indisposed, if you will. Freddie says, TikTok, it's time. Yes, it is time.
Yes. I'm sorry, Freddie. We are running a couple minutes late, and this is what happens when producer Peyton's not here, is when I have to take over the duties, and I don't do it as well as she does. So
you said duties.
Duties. Yeah.
But the beard will be back. I just woke up and was like, man, I'm just gonna freshen up here.
All right.
So it'll be back. I'm already sprouting new hairs, as you know how that goes, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be back. Just needed a little breath of fresh air. Anywho, before we get into our weekend review, how are you?
Yeah, things are going well. It's Monday, so how good could they be? But no, it's okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing else. I'm boring.
Okay. Well, I don't agree with that. I think you're a quite interesting man.
Well, thank you, sir. That's very good.
We're a little limited on what we can discuss on Speed Syndicate. All right. What do you say we do our weekend review? All right, we're coming off a big-time Darlington race throwback weekend in the books. This one tired Denny doubles up because Denny Hamlin wins. He goes back-to-back. That doesn't really tell the whole story. William Byron dominated this thing for, you know, three-fourths of the race, really, if not more. He was absolutely putting on a drubbing, as Mike Joy called it. Great word, by the way.
A drubbing. That's nice.
It's a great word. Again, people – we got some friends that are pretty critical of Mike Joy, and they're just wrong. when you can come up with words like drubbing, you're an icon. We love you. That's what I guess. Absolutely heartbreak for Blaney Freddie. Look, there were several people I thought were going to win this race at various points. Obviously, William Byron being the most. He looked like it was You know, clean air was clean air is always king. We know that track position, clean air is always king. But holy Moses, was it extra this week? It was, I mean, it was like someone tied an anchor to the rest of the field when you got clean air. Talk to me about the clean air for William Byron, and what were your thoughts on that before we touch on other subjects?
Yeah, I mean, clean air is always something important, like you said, but it's weird. I don't feel like we normally see that as a huge thing at Darlington. Like, it felt like weird for Darlington for that to be as paramount as it was for Byron. There was really only one green flag pass for the lead, or at least on the track. The only actual pass for the lead was Blaney taking over Reddick there. And any other time, pretty much whoever was in the lead was the one to beat, and no one could get by them. So, and at that point, Blaney's car was just ridiculously fast. Like, I don't know what was going on there. It's like he hit the nitrous oxide there or whatever, and just was like, yeah, we're going to go for this. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. Why Darlington? Why this time? The thing is, there are so many variables at all of these things, you know, like weather and temperature play a role in like how much grip is on the track. Tire wear obviously changes every year as the track gets older and older, or if they repave it, you know, there's always something. So it's hard to really isolate, well, what was the main cause for this particular race playing out the way it did. I don't know. It wasn't the most exciting first three quarters of a race, certainly. William Byron leading 243 laps straight, pretty much. But then, I don't know. They decided they wanted to give us a show at the end. So reward those that stuck around.
No, it was Richard Petty-esque in that domination. That, you know, the domination we read about from the King, that was kind of what it felt like with William Byron, and credit to him. Of course, you know, he gets a second place, and obviously heartbreak for him as well by not winning when you were easily the best car for the, let's say, 90% of the day. And let's talk about Ryan Blaney. Freddie alluded to it, heartbreak for Blaney. Yes, it looked like it was going to be his race to win after Rudy Fugel may have messed up and had William Byron wait too long. It looked like it was going to be his race. Tyler Reddick was getting stalked like I heard the Jaws theme in my head.
Oh, yeah. And as a Reddick fan myself, too, like, I was listening to his radio, and it was funny how they were trying to downplay it for him and just how quickly he was coming, because obviously you don't want your driver to panic, but... And it was, they were getting creative with like, just the number 12 is getting closer. Just keep your head down, keep doing your thing. You know, it was like everyone watching knew it was inevitable. Like, Blaney was on something. Yeah.
When he got past that, because I thought lab traffic might help out that, because, you know, like Bubba certainly didn't help Blaney out. Even though they're buddies, right?
Yep.
He didn't help him twice. He didn't help him when he had to move around him, and he didn't help him obviously with the Kyle Larson spin. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment.
Yeah.
I thought lab traffic would give it to where Reddick, it was going to be really close, but Blaney got there with time to spare.
Oh yeah.
Frankly, he got, you know. I don't know. I know you're not a huge football guy, but the old saying is you don't want to let someone score too soon late in the game, you know, and leave them a lot of time.
Yeah.
Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney, pardon me, but, you know, probably scored a little too soon to get the lead, and then it gave time for issues, and obviously that's how the day played out. Let's talk about those issues. Kyle Larson had one no good, very bad, horrible, terrible day. He spun, I believe, after 4 to 5 laps at the start of the race. And then to end the race, he spins in the exact same location, the exact same way. It was like watching a replay.
Yeah.
Some say that Bubba Wallace intentionally manufactured the race. I personally do not believe that. The SMT data has been out already, and yep. there are no signs that that is the case. I understand why people are quick to go, well, he's trying to help out his owner. But also, I feel like there is a segment of the NASCAR fan base, and I don't think they're the large majority, but they are the loudest, that if Bubba Wallace breathes, he's doing something wrong. And so I'm being a little proverbial with that statement, folks. But, I mean, it's just
– no, it's true.
Hate this guy gets it. I mean, I'm not president of the Bubba Wallace fan club. But it is everybody just assumes the worst about Bubba Wallace and what his intentions may have been. When I don't know if Kyle Larson spun there with at the start of the race, it is conceivable that he screwed up again with a damaged car in the same place because clearly it's a pesky turn.
Yeah.
What's your take on that incident? Obviously, you've seen the hubbub, I'm sure, of Bubba. Did this intentionally, Bubba did that, Bubba did this, Bubba stole my apple pie, whatever it may be.
It's tough. It's tough to be Bubba sometimes, I think, you know, and he's having a great season, really. Like he's been up front a lot this year, and I know his finish didn't necessarily show that yesterday, finished 21st, but he was in the hunt for a little while there, and he was certainly riding around the top five for a lot of the day. I don't know. Do you look at the fact that Larson and Bubba have some history as well? If you think back to Vegas, I think a couple of years ago, the whole fight down on, like, you know, basically at the start finish line there. Yeah. I don't know. Like, did Kyle Larson have a little help this time? Yeah. The first time he literally just spun on his own, 'cause he screwed up, and he immediately was on the radio saying, sorry, guys, sorry, like to his team. This time, yeah, Bubba gave him a little nudge, but this was not like a dirty move in any way. Like, Larson checked up really quickly because he saw Tyler Reddick going into the fence and thought something big was happening. And in that split second, Bubba Wallace was not able to check up as much and tapped his rear bumper, and around goes Larson, just happens to be in the exact same spot. It literally looked the exact same as the first time. So I don't know. I don't think that's Bubba's fault, but you're right in that there are people out there who for many different silly reasons just hate Bubba Wallace and are willing to like rag on this guy every single time. And honestly, it's embarrassing now. Like, if you are one of those people, I'm not afraid to say it, if you're watching this right now and you're a Bubba hater just because you've been, you know, that's how you've always been, it's time to let it go. I don't know. He's doing well. He's having a good season. And I don't want to say I had time for this argument, but I understood at least when people were like, his only win was a rain shortened thing. Like, does that even count? Blah, blah, blah. He went and won another race and did it, you know, in the normal way, finished under green flag, all that stuff. Like, I don't know. What more do you want from the guy? Oh, I think you're muted there, Logan. Tell us.
I was trying to give you your space on that.
So that's okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to be more professional. my bad. But no, I think you make some good points. Now, I think you can dislike a driver for any reason you so desire. People, one of the great things about this sport is the passionate opinions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think for some reason, so, and it's not just Bubba in this case, it might be Bubba so severely, but sometimes people dislike a guy so much they can't kind of set that aside and just call a spade in certain moments. You can dislike Bubba Wallace all you want for whatever reason that may be. That is your prerogative. But if you can't look at an incident with clear eyes and go, yeah, he probably didn't do that on purpose. I mean, I don't know that if I'm Bubba Wallace that I care that much about my owner winning. He's won plenty. All right, it's not, especially coming off a win at Martinsville. There's no longer a big drought to talk about.
Well, and also like Denny wasn't in position to win that at that point. It wasn't like, oh, if I wreck Larson here, then Denny's going to win. Like, Denny had an amazing pit stop at the end, and that's what won him the race.
Right. He got that amazing pit stop, got that clean air, and it was you can kiss the baby.
Yeah.
No, it's just I think Bubba is also a victim, for lack of a better term, because it's Larson, and Larson's one of the most popular drivers in the sport. And so it's inconceivable to some that Kyle Larson would screw up twice. And it's inconceivable to a lot of us. I mean, he is probably the best. He's probably the most naturally talented driver in the field right now. He's incredible. That is the facts.
He is, but I also feel like he makes the most mistakes. I don't know. I feel like there's always something going on with Larson. And I've said it before. It's like he gets bored. He's just like so good that he's like, he's like starts daydreaming about his Indy 500 start, and suddenly comes off loose on turn two and ends up in the wall. Like, I don't understand. The other thing, sorry, I'm interrupting you as I always do. I think Bubba Wallace's best friend in the entire field is Ryan Blaney. And so,
yeah,
sure. You know, you can talk about like alliances within your team and your owner and all that stuff, but when Blaney wins, the first person ever, like the first person to go up and congratulate him is Bubba Wallace every time. And so there's no way he would have tried, done something on purpose that would jeopardize a Ryan Blaney win either.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Look, if Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney are out front, Bubba Wallace is not going to be the first guy to go. I'm going to jeopardize that. Mm-hmm. They all three are huge fans of one another.
Yeah.
And I think that's worth talking about. Freddie says, yeah, Denny's pit crew was on fire. No doubt. They had the moment of the race by getting him out front there. I mean, that, because clean air, again, yes, it's always king, but there was something different this week about that clean air, because it was like there was a parachute on the rest of the field. And so credit to him. And that's what championship teams do. And I know that Denny has yet to win that elusive championship, but that's what championship caliber teams do. They find a way to get their driver in the best position to get the best finish. Now, sometimes that's not wins. Sometimes that's doing all you can to squeak out a top 10. Every point matters.
Sorry, I'm doing it again.
You're good, brother.
Look at this. Even just like Joe Gibbs Racing in general in the first half of the race was not good. Like, we had Christopher Bell nearly getting lapped. We had Denny was way down the line there. Like, and it, I think that also speaks to like this kind of don't give up attitude as well, which I think is important and is something you see a lot in these championship caliber teams, right? Like Christopher Bell nearly got lapped and managed to save it, but like that's not the position he wants to be in. And then finishes third on the day. So like, yeah, that's how you maximize a day where maybe your setup is not right off the start of the day, right?
No, absolutely. It was a big time turnaround for Joe Gibbs and his crew, no doubt. Matt Marr says, look at the replay. I don't think Bubba anticipated Larson checking out that much. Yeah, again, I think the S&P data clearly shows that this, any idea of it being intentional is just silly. I don't know. Frankly, I give more blame to Larson because I'm going to call it like I see it, folks. You're nearly 160 laps down. Just fill your notebook and stay out of the way.
Yeah.
I don't mean any disrespect to Kyle Larson. Everyone's got a right to be out there. But you're nearly 160 laps down. Just take it easy. Ride some lines. See what works for you. See what gets you an extra 10th so you can make notes for the Southern 500 or next year's Goodyear 400 or whatever it may be. I do not understand the rush to be like, well, there's no way that was on Larson. I don't know. Clearly not having the best of days. We all have them.
Yeah.
But all right. Denny Hamlin doubled up. Let's touch on that one last time before we move it on to the Xfinity series. And then, I have a few things to ask you, beyond that. This was not a traditional, it wasn't like, because as you said, first half of the day, Joe Gibbs Racing was frankly in the witness protection program. It was tough times. So it was looking pretty dicey there that Denny Hamlin would have any shot of going back to back. This is one of his greatest tracks, made no mistake on that, but it didn't look like the day. I asked you this last week, but I feel like it's still appropriate given how Denny won. Is this a sign of things to come, or did they just kind of get off the schneid again? Did they just kind of get put themselves in the right position? Because I don't have a ton of confidence after this race that, yeah, Denny's in championship contending form. I just don't. The pit crew is. But I got a hot take for you, ladies and gentlemen. Put it down. I think Joe Gibbs Racing is a little bit on the decline. I really do. And you're like, well, Christopher Bell's got three wins, and Denny's got the last two. Yeah, I hear you. But the naked eye of watching races would tell you something's a little afoul. In my estimation, maybe I'm way wrong, but I don't like where Joe Gibbs is as an organization right now. What's your take, Ed?
I think it's tough because you look at, Ty Gibbs clearly struggling, and Chase Briscoe. I know you're down on Chase Briscoe. I'm not quite there yet, but. But I don't know. Yeah, obviously they just miss Martin Truex Jr. That's why it's
they compare to Chase Briscoe.
I know. I don't know if I would say they're on the decline, but I'm trying to answer all your questions at once here. Do I think Denny is now like a shoe-in for the championship? Not necessarily. Especially, yeah, it was a great day for his pit crew, but he was not, even with five to go, it wasn't like, oh, Denny's the guy to beat today. Like there was nothing there for that. So I think Denny won in impressive fashion the week before and, was dominating, and that was great. He had one kind of, he backed into a win, if you will. I know that's
an expression that
we like. Yeah. No, I mean, you gotta be good to be lucky. Right.
But I mean, facetious because he gave Alex Bowman some tough treatment for his backing in a win a few years ago. And now if that wasn't backing it in, like not only was that backing in, that was using the camera. All right. That was.
Yeah. But win's a win too, right?
Absolutely. Look, you hook a crook, baby. You take it how you can get it. I ain't mad. So if
Denny wins in Phoenix in November and wins the championship, and he does it with a great final pit stop and an overtime, leads two laps on the day, I don't think he cares, right? Oh, like it counts.
A wooden nickel. But I do. I think JGR is on the bit of decline. Matt Marr says he sees no worry to concern about JGR. Briscoe show more speed this year, but it's on him to start winning more races. Look, here's a little inside baseball between Adam Carabine and I, and he's really scared about what I'm going to say right now. Our favorite thing on the scanner is when someone goes low, 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 low. That's our favorite. We both listen to the scanner religiously every week.
No.
Yeah. That's our favorite thing. We both listen to scanners every week. He listens probably to Tyler Reddick. I listen to the 43. That's our favorite thing on scanner. We've decided that. We have an inside joke about it. My belief in Briscoe is that low. I don't have any belief in Briscoe. Wow. He is going to be a bust for JGR in the way of Daniel Suarez.
Ouch.
I do not believe. If he gets more than one win at JGR, I'll be stunned. I'm giving him one. Nope, I ain't got any faith. Ryan Hill, how's it going, guys? Another Penske letdown this weekend. Well, I mean, I understand your disappointment, but Ryan Blaney was a contender.
I mean, you'd rather lose that way than have your engine blow up when you're in the lead there like that, right? So.
Are they taking that engine to R&D, though?
They are, yeah. There's something funky going on there. Before we move forward, sorry, I want to...
Nervous Wednesday.
I want to give you this interesting stat that I saw. The 2018 Cup Series season, I guess at the time it was the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series season, 2018, races 2, 3, and 4 all three are won by Kevin Harvick, 2, 3, and 4. This year, Christopher Bell wins races 2, 3, and 4.
Yep.
And then races 7, 8, and 9 in 2018, Kyle Busch wins 3 in a row. Mm-hmm. And so far we're at 7 and 8, and Denny Hamlin has won 2. Does he win in Bristol?
Yeah.
Does history repeat itself here? Yeah. He's good at Bristol too.
He is. He is. I mentioned that in the post-race inspection article, but at a certain point in those articles, you got to think of something to talk about. But no, I don't believe he's going to win. Brian wants to know, so you said Logano is going to have a better group? Yeah. Absolutely. 1,000% yes. Briscoe bust. Briscoe.
Yep,
He'll be the second biggest letdown name chase in NASCAR.
I'm also going to hit this button just as a friendly reminder. You can subscribe to us. There you go.
All right, let's talk a little Xfinity. Brandon Jones wins. He snaps a 98 race winless streak. That wasn't the Jones I wanted to see go to victory lane this weekend, but it's always nice to have a Jones in victory lane because it's a good name. Good for Brandon Jones.
Yeah,
but
I wanted to get to this comment from Freddie here too. Sorry, from earlier. Good for Brandon Jones overall winning and getting back to victory lane. I think Jones is going to win at least one more this year.
I think that's possible. I do. I really do. I think he's talented. I just don't think. I think that he has the potential to be a Cup driver, but he's never right. He's never been in the right situation. Is he an all-timer by any stretch? No. Is he? I don't even necessarily know if he's a Cup winner, but I think he's a victim of the teams he's been on. There's log jams there. I think he's got more potential than people think. Ryan Hill says, that's right. We made a yeet button just for Freddie because he's excited for WrestleMania. I know you're excited for WrestleMania, Ryan, as am I. So we made a yeet button.
We need some more buttons.
Oh, I'm sure producer Peyton is working on that as we speak. Verstappen won in Japan, and you know that's. But I got a question before we move on from the weekend.
That was a boring one.
I got a question before we move on for the weekend.
Okay.
Has Throwback Weekend ran its course? Is it time to pack it away for at least a couple years? I mean, I'm thinking about writing an article on this thing. I'm laying there 3 in the morning. This is a true story, folks. I'm laying there 3 in the morning, and I'm wondering, the Throwback Weekend ran its course. This is what I do at 3 in the morning. I'm laying in bed next to Bruce Payton, and I'm going, has Throwback Weekend ran its course? So I want to know, Adam, has Throwback Weekend ran its course?
It was interesting that we got some quotes on that this weekend from some of the drivers. Like, I don't know, that was kind of a running theme amongst the media. What do you think of Throwback Weekend? And Chase Elliott was not a fan. I mean, easy to not be a fan when your car looks like that. But
notice how my joy called it Intrader Inspired. Yeah. You notice how my joy correctly, because it was so rough. He didn't call it a throwback. He called it a Ken Schrader inspired car, which is more accurate.
Yeah. That's like when you go see a movie that's based on a true story and really they've made a whole lot of facts up for the movie to make it better.
Paragraphs of it are accurate.
Matt Maher is going to answer before I do, cause I'm still thinking. He says, I don't think it has. I think it's always cool, even if it's seeing most of the same tributes, but on different cars. That kind of sums up some of the criticism I have. It's like always these same kind of like, oh, we're revisiting this great scheme. And like, there are probably other great ones that have never been touched. But I said this last week, I'm not a huge Throwback Weekend guy. It doesn't really mean all that much to me, but I think it was Brad Keselowski who made a point on Twitter, or X, if you will, saying, you know what? It's about the fans. And he said he was seeing a bunch of fans dressed up in like throwback gear, and like people are buying into it and having fun. And like, does it hurt anyone? No, it doesn't. It's kind of fun. It's a little gimmicky, but you know, sure. Great. Do it at Darlington. It's an old track. I don't know. I would hate to take it away from like the fans who are like, this is my favorite race of the year because of the throwbacks and the blah, 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 you know? I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, if I'm looking at it from purely a fan perspective, I don't ever want it to go away entirely because, frankly, it's the only time we get Petty Blue on the damn car now. and that's very important to some of us. You know, and by the way, have you noticed the throwback weekend gets the 43 more TV time than ever? They showed that 43 more times during that race they have all year combined. Now, obviously, it had to do with everybody sitting in the booth. But still, what we meant.
With Richard Petty sitting in the booth laughing at people spinning.
Because he knew, because he's still pretty sharp at his age, he knew that's going to benefit the 43. He knew.
He forgot to hit the mute button there. That was
I don't think he cares. if there's one thing old Rich has proven, it's I don't think he cares.
Here's an idea. Do we do throwback weekend, but we like enforce throwback weekend? Because you get some teams who don't do it at all.
We had more teams this year than ever not doing it, felt like. I mean, like 10 cars.
Not doing it. Yeah. No, I agree.
Like,
yeah.
You guys are party poopers. Here's what I would do for throwback weekend because I think it certainly needs tweaked. Number one, I'd put it back at Southern 500, not the Goodyear 400.
Agreed.
Because number one, it makes it feel bigger. Number two, that's an ultimate throwback race because 500 mile races are going the way of the dodo slowly but surely. And so let's throw it back to one of the few. And that gives the teams and the sponsors a lot more time to come up with throwbacks. You got to keep in mind, folks, you know, it's a money-driven business. It's a sponsorship-driven business. I mean, you might say, well, we're already entering spring and starting to get into summer. Right? That's plenty of time. No, it's not. Because let me tell you what, the offseason is spent thinking about one race and one race only. It's spent thinking about Daytona. They don't even think about anything else until after Daytona. They don't even start to breathe it. All right?
Yeah.
They don't even smell it. And so I think you go back to the Southern 500, you do it then, and I do. I think you enforce, come up with something. Come up, come up with, you don't even got to change your colors, but come up with something. If there's a scheme that fits your colors, and because some companies are very weird about, well, I don't want to change. And right. I get that. It's your brand. It's your thing. I respect that. I really do. But I would put it back at Southern 500. And
you're telling me in like 76 years of NASCAR history that you can't find something that is similar to that color at one point or another, like
you'd think. You would think so. Matt brings up a good point. Yeah, some do decide to just do it on Southern 500 weekend. Like, I at this point, I'm convinced Johnny Moore's at Bass Pro Shops must not like it because at first I thought maybe it's just a Martin Truex thing. You know, he's a little different. Chase Briscoe, same thing. Like, I thought Martin Truex might just because he doesn't seem like a fad guy. All right, he seems like the kind of guy that would go, yeah, everyone's doing that, so I'm not. And so I thought that was probably it. But the fact that Chase Briscoe also didn't have a throwback scheme tells me, well, the Johnny Morris and Bass Pro Shops are like, no, I don't want to. And so for me, make everybody do it, or at least try incentivize it. Now, how I don't know, twist their arm. You know, obviously we're not going to get the points here, but again, just because I think there is a lot of fun in it. And if you need a couple of years to let it breathe, if you're like, I'm out of ideas for now, all right, then let's take 2 or 3 years off. That's fine. Whatever. But yeah, I hope it doesn't go the way of the dodo and doesn't come back. I think it's a great fun thing. And it pays tribute to not only, I think, NASCAR's kind of golden generation. Well, then you're right, Matt. You're right. You just trumped me. You got me. But I don't quite understand then what the hell is up Chase Briscoe, Martin Truex Jr.'s keister. As far as I'm not gonna do it. Maybe James Small hates throwbacks. because he's maybe he's very small minded. I don't know. It just perplexes me. I don't get it. I do not understand it whatsoever. So yeah, I do. I hope we see guys get more committed to it. I would put it back at the 500 to give teams and more time to think about what we're going to do, because there's a huge difference between the start of April and September. That is a long way, folks.
Yeah.
Don't believe me? Talk to me in September and tell me everything that's happening in your life between this episode and our post Southern 500 episode. I guarantee you it's going to be a lot. Promise. So that's just my take. Except maybe they need to give it 2 or 3 years to give it a breather and let everybody kind of refreshing up, because we are kind of, maybe we need to enter a new era. I don't know, because, to some extent, maybe we're out of ideas. I don't know, but I hope it continues. I think people like it. All right, with that, let's move on to our Speedway Scoop. All right, one of the more strange stories of the past week is Lamar Jackson is suing Dell Jr. and Troy Aikman in an attempt to trademark the number 8. Boy, this is weird. Obviously, it's well known that Junior Motorsports is trying to transition back to the quote-unquote DEI font of 8. But obviously, they probably still want the 8 they have, just because you always want more in your back pocket in case. You just, merchandise those things. You want as many things as you can have. And apparently, Lamar Jackson has taken objection to, I believe, the current 8, the non-DEI font. And I get it. You're trying to protect your interest. That's business. That's the good old US of A. I get it. But holy Moses, does anybody ever go think of the 8 and go, yeah, Lamar Jackson? No. Yep, Super Bowl. Like what are you talking about? Well, I think he's won one, but whatever. No.
Well, he's not even the only football player that wears 8.
I just don't. I feel like he's just trying to pee in Cheerios at this point. Like, I'm just going to do it to see if I can mess with it and see if I can win. And that happened.
Even like, yeah, I don't know. People are talking about him, and they weren't 2 weeks ago. So I think
this is so, I wish I had a more elegant way to put this, folks, but I don't. This is so stupid. This is a complete waste of everybody's time. This is a complete waste of Lamar's time. This is a complete waste of Dell Jr.'s time. This is a complete waste of my time. It's a waste of Adam's time. Lamar, you will, God love you, but unless you go on like a 5-straight Super Bowl run, you're not ever going to be like the most identifiable 8 in NFL history. I just don't understand it. I'm befuddled.
Speaking of famous 8s, how about Alex Ovechkin just passing Wayne Gretzky's goal record in the NHL? That's bigger deal than Lamar,
I'd have a new goat.
Yeah. Probably not, close.
I mean, it helps the conversation if you want to have the debate. All right. And it just got stranger as the week went on last week. Legacy Motor Club is suing Rick Ware Racing over charters.
Speaking of weird lawsuits and
this
things.
Is strange, folks. This is a strange few ways to lose. It is. So, the way it's gone down is this, from what I understand, because obviously I've done a fair amount of research here. Legacy Motor Club is suing Rick Ware for, I believe it's one charter. I don't think they're trying to take both, and I would hope not. Because you can only have 3 now. Unless you're one of the big boys. And so the way it's going down is they're suing. And according to all the hubbub, the scuttlebutt, the innuendo, it all stems from Rick Ware thought the agreement was for 2027. Legacy Motor Club says it was 26. Rick Ware said they changed it. That's not what we agreed to. What are your thoughts, Adam?
I don't know. Do we need to sue each other over this? Like,
just figure it out. Legacy said they tried to reason with RWR and it wasn't happening. And so they're...
I know. And they're like throwing insults at each other and stuff too. I mean, sure. I'm here for the tea. That's great. Makes, you know, gives us something to talk about here. But it is weird. Like, I don't know. I don't think Rick Ware Racing belongs in NASCAR. I'm not going to lie. And maybe that's a hot take in its own self, but just they're clearly not competitive. I mean, there's nothing going on there, you know? And so sure, this is your chance to like cash out. I also think what a weird time to be buying a charter for Legacy Motor Club when like, who knows even what's going to happen with charters. Like I read something like $40 million for this charter. Like that's insane. And then to possibly not even need it or like basically have that thrown away. Like, I don't know. I'm being told to hit the hot button here. Here we go. Rick Ware Racing does not belong in NASCAR. Do you disagree?
I don't think we should be in the business of telling people who belong and who don't belong in motorsports. If Rick Ware can do it, why not? He's certainly successful in drag racing. Like, I don't know. It depends on what his end goals are. I mean, if his idea is, well, we're just going to, you know, we're going to compete, we're going to win Daytona 500s, like, clearly that's not been successful. But if it's we're going to build baby steps, and sometimes they have and been more competitive than they are right now, I think of like Justin Haley, obviously. I think they took a step back this year with Cody Ware being back in the car full time. I really do. Because again, there was a time they were kind of making some strides and shocking us. Remember, they might still have the RFK alliance, and so. But with Justin Haley was there, and it felt like, wow, RFK is making some moves, or RWR is making some moves. So I don't know what all this is, because it leads to a couple more questions. Who is it the Legacy Motor Club has in mind for next season? I mean, obviously they have somebody in mind for next season. They have something they're cooking or planning, yeah. Depending on how this all shakes out. Who is that person? Obviously, the first person I think of is Corey Heim, but he signed that deal with 2311, and so I don't know. I don't know what it means. I think it's a bad time to buy Frederick for a few reasons. Like you said, the lawsuit being number one, the antitrust lawsuit. Number two, until both the 42 and 43 are consistently competitive, and I can't say that they are right now, why?
Yeah.
Why? I the 42 is taking a step up, but I still wouldn't. And when I say competitive, I mean contending to win races on a fairly consistent basis. I don't get it from – you know, I just don't personally understand what Jimmy Johnson and co are thinking on that. Again, who are they thinking of? Is the only one that would ring a bell to me is Corey Heim. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Now if they change the agreement, that's, you know, that'll be proven in court. But if Rick Ware signed the agreement, and it doesn't seem to be a dispute on he did sign the agreement.
Yeah.
There seems to be a dispute on when the agreement is supposed to kick in, whether that's next year, 2027.
Like if they didn't read it properly and they just signed it, then that's kind of on you.
I know that we try to keep it relatively PG-13 here, but I got three letters for you, Mr. Ware, if that's the case. S-O-L.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. Now, again, do I think it's a great idea for Legacy Medical? I don't. I think it's a case of spreading yourself too thin, especially under the guise of what I believe is probably going to lose a sponsorship at the end of the year in Dollar Tree / Family Dollar. Now, maybe Jimmy Johnson's like, bro, I've got that lined up already. No worries. I ain't got a clue, right? Jimmy Johnson clearly has some serious connections. Like I said, I think this is being impatient for Legacy Motor Club to even think about buying a charter right now. get the cars that you already have to be fairly competitive. And doesn't mean championship contenders, but let's see you win. Let's call it 2 to 3 races every year, you know, and then for at least a good 2 or 3 year stretch, and then we can talk about the time to expand, because expansion can really set you back sometimes. Hot take: it looks like it might have been a little too soon for 2311. Riley Herbst is running rough. Maybe they just got the wrong driver. I don't know, but also that spreads resources and equipment, and I think that takes a little bit from everybody. And I don't know if let's say they're on their best day, they're 20 place averages. The 20th place average finish wise, let's say on their best day, on the most consistent day, if you take more from them, doesn't that knock them down to 27th, 28th? I just don't see how that works.
Have three cars running 27th or 27th, 28th,
29th. Yeah, like it just doesn't.
I just want to point this out. I took a little heat for saying Rick Ware Racing doesn't belong in NASCAR, but I will also remind everyone, if we missed this, coming into Darlington in the points, Cody Ware was still behind Jimmy Johnson in points, and Jimmy Johnson has only run the Daytona 500.
Yeah,
so he now just passed him. It took 8 races for Cody Ware to pass Jimmy Johnson's one race.
Nice.
There you go. Matt Marr says Riley Herbst does not deserve a cup ride. We've got some hot takes in the comments here. We should get to all these. Riley Herbst does not deserve a cup ride. We've got Corey LaJoie will win a race before Ty Gibbs does.
Well, he has an opportunity to make you right this weekend.
Corey Heim also wins a cup race before Ty Gibbs. I could see that more than I see Corey LaJoie.
Corey LaJoie is on the entry list this weekend for the Cup Series, folks, in case you want to wonder.
And Freddie says Matt Maher should have stayed in Xfinity. I'm not sure if that's a typo or maybe that's a reply. I see Matt Maher.
It's probably giving a little flack.
As in Riley Herbst should have stayed in Xfinity, not Matt Maher should have stayed. I see. It's a response. Anyways, there you go. I'm just going to collectively, for everyone, hit the hot button. And there you go.
We're glad to continue have you, folks. Keep on branding. All right, yeah. In closing on that, I just think it's a little soon for Legacy Motor Club. But also, if Rick Ware signed the agreement and just didn't, and if people just didn't pay enough attention to realize what, like, bro. Because here's the thing about lawsuits, Adam, and you and I know this. Not that we're involved in litigation, but we both pay attention to some litigation every now and again, and these things take forever in a day. So I think Legacy can pretty much kiss a charter for next season goodbye, I would assume.
You think so? I think it'll be later this year, but I think we'll find out by the end of the year.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'm.
Right. I don't know. It'll be close
in the future. Sammy Smith was fined $25,000 and docked 50 points for his last lap crash and behavior at Martinsville. I think it's fair. I do.
Yep.
He didn't. He certainly didn't deny anything. So,
my favorite was just Junior Motorsports immediately saying, "We will not be challenging this, or we will not be appealing this." Yeah, it's like, "Yep, we know. We know what we did."
My bad. So I think it's fair, and Sammy Smith's got a right to feel how he wants to feel about it, and And after not having another Cup Series race on his docket originally, Connor Zilich will now compete in the Coca-Cola 600 for Trackhouse. Daniel Suarez, your seat is getting warmer.
Well, we'll see how he does in a Cup car in a 600-mile race, too, right? Yeah. Like, that's a big ask.
Yeah, so that's at least 2 open entries for the Coke 600, because remember, Jimmy Johnson will make his other lone Cup Series start in the Coke 600. So we'll see how that goes.
There was one other piece of news I wanted to get to. It just came out this morning. Just some sad news about, apologies on this pronunciation, Shigeaki Hattori, truck series owner, passed away this morning. or I guess, sorry, it was pronounced deceased on Saturday, but they just announced it today. And he was a part of the championship winning truck series team for Brett Moffitt in 2018 when they won the championship. So sad to see that. So I believe it was a car accident. So
absolutely. We send our thoughts and prayers and condolences to just anyone that may be feeling the loss of that, certainly his family and frankly, certainly his fans. Right. So, that, you know, just awful news, and just give a show, folks, try not to take anything for granted, 'cause you just never know. All right. With that, we got to keep moving it along, and let's do a little weekend preview. All right, all three series are at Bristol. That's right, it's Bristol, baby, the last great Coliseum. You know, we've seen this spring race get a lot of makeovers in recent years. Sometimes it's been dirt, sometimes it's been Easter, sometimes it's been this, sometimes it's been that. We're going just back to the regular old concrete in the spring. Entry list came out today again. Corey the Joy on that Cup entry list for Rick Ware Racing. So, you know. Suck on that, Adam. And Jesse Love on the entry list as well, as is Josh Balicki in Garage 66. So just a couple of different names. Couple of different names out there. NHRA, the Las Vegas Four Wides. The Four Wides are very unpopular among the old school NHRA fan base. But still, always after a week off, good to see him back in there. F1 going to Bahrain. IndyCar's got the Long Beach, California. It's going to be a great weekend racing, whatever it may be. So whatever your persuasion is, it's going to be a great weekend. Freddie says, I'm thinking for this weekend, Grant wins the truck race. That could happen. Grant's been strong in that 9 truck. Xfinity race is won by Sheldon Creed. Could he get off the Schneid? And the Cup race, Alex Bowman.
A bounce back for Alex Bowman,
the showman. Hey, you know, anything could happen.
That's true.
Look, anything could happen. So, I would love to see, Sheldon Creed get off the Schneid. I really would. I think that would be awesome because you know he gets a lot of heat, and you know people act like it's easy to win a race for some reason, and it's not.
I like Sheldon Creed. I don't know why. I have a soft spot for him.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, but yeah. Nothing wrong with that at all. I just personally don't. I don't understand why people are like, he doesn't deserve anything. He hasn't won. Well, it's hard to win. If it was easy, everybody would do it.
It's hard to win. It's hard to come second that many times too. Like it's not like he's finishing 35th every week. Like.
An underrated note of this weekend before moving along to pick time, Kyle Larson doing triple duty one more time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going for the weekend sweep once more again. Can he get it done? No, he will not get it done.
He's bored in that Cup car. I'm telling you, he's bored. He needs something to entertain himself.
Yep. So he'll be in the trucks, he'll be in the Xfinity, and he'll, of course, be in the Cup car. Kyle Larson going for the weekend sweep again. Will he get it? My estimation, no.
Nope. I don't think so either.
We'll see. Could be wrong. I've been wrong before. It's very rare, but it does happen. We'll see how it all shakes out. Mm-hmm. We shall. Anywho, with that, what do you say we get to our racing refresh picks? All righty, Mr. Carabine, why don't you go ahead and update us on the score and the sitch?
ChatGPT putting on a clinic here, putting on a William Byron-esque clinic.
That's right. But hopefully, that's right. They're running on names. It's fine.
But that's what I mean. Like I'm hoping it's similar to William Byron at Darlington yesterday, and that you know you can lead for the first little bit, and one of us is going to come and snatch that from you. So, but unfortunately, yes, ChatGPT did win again with Kyle Busch. Yesterday, P10 finish for Kyle Busch. That's nice to see. You like that? Weird to say though, right? So ChatGPT is at 32 points. Producer Peyton and I are tied at 17 each, and you are at 14. We're in a bit of a hole here, but you know what? I'm
slowly creeping up on you and Producer Peyton. I'm slowly creeping up.
You are. Yep. And
I was wide early.
Yeah, it was wider. Yes. So for Bristol, for making picks, I am up first because my guy Chase Briscoe came 28th last week, or I guess yesterday. Who do I like at Bristol? I am going to take Josh Berry.
Good pick. He's
good at the old short tracks, you know. Our next pick is supposed to go to Producer Peyton. I don't know if you've heard from her or what, whether we've got a pick from her yet.
I have not heard a peep, my friend.
Well, if she is not here to pick, then she forfeits her pick for now. She can pick at the end after the show, and we'll fill you in next week with who she chose. But we will defer to you then, sir.
It's Bristol, baby. So again, trying to climb out of this hole, so to speak. Granted, it's early. Yeah, Denny Hamlin could go three in a row. Absolutely, he could, Freddie. I don't know that he will. I don't think that he will, just because it's a tall task. But I didn't think Christopher Bell would either. Anywho, my pick for this week, as far as our game goes, give me Kyle Busch.
Kyle Busch. The Busch brothers are known at Bristol as being very good. Let's just double check here who ChatGPT is picking.
Okay.
Yes, ChatGPT. I'm surprised actually ChatGPT has not picked this person yet. They're going with Tyler Reddick. So we'll see how Reddick does.
Hey, you know what?
If ChatGPT wins this week, I won't be so mad.
You're not going to be that upset about it for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know why, but take it.
All right.
Freddie says if Denny wins on Sunday, it won't surprise him. It's a good track for him. I don't know.
It's not that it would surprise me either. It's just that I think going three in a row is so hard to do. Everything's got to go right.
Yeah.
And he's already backdoored his way into victory number two. But, hey, who's to say? You know, we'll see how qualifying goes this weekend and all that. All right, with that, look, every great episode must come to an end. But before we do, it's time for a little closing time. All right, Mr. Caravine. Well, our producer was a no-show. Let's just be real about it. You know? She works her fingers to the bone, folks.
I'm gonna push this button here. It says subscribe, but I'm pushing it for the bell there, which I'm likening to an alarm clock. So there you go. That's for Producer Peyton.
Nice. We'll but I'm sure she'll be back in the catbird seat next week.
Oh yes. And I'm just joking. Producer Peyton works harder than any of us on this venture here. So
1,000%.
Yes.
So she's the MVP of the team. So we hope she's enjoying herself. And so with that, Mr. Carabine, final words.
I'll put this up in her honor. There we go.
Chase Reese a lot.
Yeah, it's been, I don't think we've seen him yet this season. Just a couple things to look for on the website. We have our very own Formula One writer, Ryan Wu, who's been doing recaps of the Formula One. It was a very boring race, but he still wrote one. And it's actually probably more interesting to read that than it is to watch that race. So check that out on the website. You've got Logan and I sit down for our weekly conversation in print form. The post-race inspection, which is out today. We got tweets of the week coming out tomorrow. Is that?
Yeah, yes, sir. It'll be back tomorrow. Yes.
It'll be back tomorrow. We've got power rankings coming out on Thursday. We got stats Saturday on Saturday. We got a busy week, and we got a kind of a full docket of racing this weekend. So looking forward to that. I might be watching on a bit of a delay on Sunday because I'm going out of town for the weekend, taking a quick journey out of the old Vancouver area. So, but I will be watching.
Are you staying in the home country or?
Yeah, of course I am. I'm not coming down to
look. You, sometimes
the craziness.
Sometimes for concerts you venture in.
I do often. Yeah, I know. I'm almost at a boycott level right now. We'll see.
I got you.
Don't threaten my sovereignty.
I got you. I was just curious because I know you got a lot of concerts you come and see.
Yeah, no, going to a little town called Nelson for the weekend. Just a little fun little getaway, just for fun. So
enjoy it, my friend, and give Sheila my best. Assuming she'll come away. Yes.
She is. Yeah.
Give her my best, and I hope the kids and the family are well. And with that, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Matt, Freddie, Ryan, the whole gang, all of our audio listeners, we appreciate you so much. Again, hit that subscribe button if you'd be so kind. Got a lot of great content coming your way as the year goes on. And yes, it is going on, but there's still a long way to go. So with that, just hope you enjoy yourselves and in these crazy times, no matter where you stand, you know, just be kind to yourself, be kind to others. And so until next time, we will see you at the next track.